Welcome to Listen in Wonder. Join us as we explore the wonder of who God is and who He has created us to be. Each week, we encourage you to pause, listen carefully for the voice of your perfect Father, and wait to hear whatever He says to you. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening.
Hello, welcome back. We are so excited. It's Wonder Wednesday. Wednesdays are becoming my very favorite day of the week. It's when we get to reconnect with women who were possibly in the room with us at Wonder Conference, or maybe a friend has just invited them to this space as we are getting to navigate a really fun topic for our women. We're just excited to hear personal experiences of God revealing Himself to His daughters, that He is a relational God, that He wants to have relationship with us, which means communication. It means dialogue. And so I'm super excited to be here with a fast new friend. We've known each other for a long time as acquaintances, but this is our first time to personally get to be in a space. So I am here with my new friend, Nikki Fear. She's from our Dallas campus. Those of you that are listening from the Hills Church, and if you're not from our church, we are a multi-site church with four campuses across the DFW area. So Nikki, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you.
Both. Are you excited?
Honored and humbled. Nervous, excited.
That's a thing.
Yeah,
that's a thing. But I'm super excited for you to be here. I had asked a couple of our Dallas campus people, who do I need to talk to from your campus? And they said, Nikki Fear. And I said, okay. And then also, for those of y'all that don't know me, I have a young adult daughter who knows Nikki. And she said, you could be on every episode. That's what she told
me. That is so kind, Tatum.
So that's pretty exciting. But will you tell our listeners just a little bit about who you are? Like, what do you want to tell us about Nikki Fear?
Wow. Yeah, thank you. Again, I think for me, this is definitely a state of getting out of my comfort zone, for sure.
I tend to do that in people.
No, that's so good. I mean, I appreciate the invitation for vulnerability. Yeah. And I know that for me, that's where growth happens.
Mm, that's right.
So I could go as far back as you would like for me to go.
Well, tell us a little bit about your family.
Yeah, sure.
Your current family.
Current family. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm married to Sean Fear. He's a creative director here at The Hills.
And so many of the beautiful things that you see around here, guys, are from Sean.
Yes, yes. And we've got two beautiful girls. Mm-hmm. Aleia, she will turn 7 tomorrow.
Isn't that crazy?
Happy birthday, bug.
And I remember when she was born. I cannot believe it.
We'd bring her up here after PATH, like I'd pick her up, and we'd head up to Sean's office for a little bit. And we also have Cora. She's 3. So they are both light, love. They are queens over their little dominions in the best kind of way.
Love it.
Aleia is our designer of beauty, and Cora is our speaker of truth, and they bring so much life.
I'm so glad you said that about each of them, because I do think that the Lord gives us kids to teach us something. And when I was becoming a mom, I think I thought I knew a lot, and now I told somebody yesterday, the older I get, the less I know.
Oh, so true.
Yeah. So I think it's interesting when either we have kids in our family, or just maybe they're spiritual kids or whatever. I just think that the Lord uses other people to teach us something if we're willing to learn. So I think that's pretty amazing. And one of the reasons why we're here today is because we want to be good listeners. Well, tell us a little bit about, I don't even know where you grew up or how you and Sean met. I don't know anything. So how did you, let's start back of where did you grow up?
Victoria, Texas.
Okay. Smaller, down by Houston?
Uh-huh. Okay. Smaller town south of Houston. I am the oldest of 3.
Okay.
And grew up there a whole of my life. Brother and sister.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I get to see my sister today. I'm so excited.
Sisters are such a gift.
Yeah. Such a gift. And I grew up across multiple like church traditions.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And also sports were a big part of my life, for sure. And I would say that the loudest love language in our household, especially modeled by mom and dad, was more acts of service. So I saw my parents working with their hands a lot. Okay. So I grew up watching my dad working on things, creating things, or taking things apart, putting them back together, making them better. My mom, from the delicate way that she would like paint her nails to, she would make us some clothes, or even like decorating our Easter baskets, those kinds of things. So I feel like the imagery of just creation has always been a part of my life as well. So I think for me, that drew me closer to just art and design. I always had a love for that. And growing up, I had the opportunity to play multiple sports, but volleyball became like the sport for me. And I had the privilege to play for Harding University.
Okay, I did not know that. So Harding fans, I know we have some of those.
And that's actually where I met Sean. So I studied both graphic design and interior design. So again, I didn't know what discipline I wanted to focus on. I just knew that design was going to be a part of my life in some way, shape, or form. And I took many classes, different mediums, and I also took a metalwork and jewelry class. I fell in love with that. And my junior year, I tore my ACL. So,
Okay, so I'm gonna pause for just a second because I want to know a little bit more about two things that you just said.
Perfect.
When you said you grew up with different spiritual kind of backgrounds or experiences, I want you to unpack that.
Yeah.
And also, do you think going into college, where was your identity more rooted in who you were as an athlete or in your relationship with the Lord?
Two very great questions. So first one, I was baptized Catholic.
Okay.
And I was raised in a Baptist church. Going into about junior high to high school, it was a different Baptist church. So culturally, it was more of Hispanic. So it was quite different in terms of how we worshiped. And then going to Harding, more of a Church of Christ tradition.
So this was just basically because of the journey your parents were on, because those are pretty different things, you know, being raised or baptized in a Catholic church and then being raised in a Baptist church and then going to a Church of Christ college. Like, those are all so different. Was that really because of your parents' journey?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And I feel like, in reflecting on this, I feel like I just need to speak her name. My grandmother, so my father's mother, Angelina Trevino, I just recall in my mind waking up, you know, super sleepy in the early morning hours, but catching her like at the breakfast table, either praying her like rosary and also reading scripture. And after she passed, we had found some like prayer journals that she had had. And she would just write like certain tests. So she had multiple grandchildren. And so I just think that's really sweet memory.
Did you see your name written in that prayer journal ever?
Yes, I did. Yeah. And other cousins as well. So that was really sweet. So I would say the transitions were most definitely where my parents were and the community that we were in.
And I think it's so important that we respect everybody's journey and we don't box God into one denomination or one way.
Right.
Like, I think it's beautiful that you have a picture of your grandmother spending time with the Lord. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So going to Harding, was that a result of where you recruited to play volleyball?
Yeah, I was
What was your thought about going to Harding from...
I tried out with one of my best friends.
Okay.
And at that time, I was just going to different... Recruiting was a little bit different back then. Tried out with her, and that was probably my best tryout. I actually was just about to sign to A&M Kingsville.
Okay.
And I got a phone call from Harding's coach, and they needed a player for a specific position, defensive specialist. So... made the decision to go there, and that's what drew me to Harding, because it was not really on my radar at all.
I love when we get to talk about things like this, because you can look back and see that there was a trajectory change by the Lord opening up that door, and that you said yes to something that was unknown or something that wasn't in your plan.
Right.
you just think how life would be different if you hadn't entertained that or mm-hmm. allowed God to move and work in your life. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's amazing. Well, I love that. Okay. So you got to answer the hard question then. Uh-huh. Where was your identity? Where would you say your identity was at that point?
Yeah. Again, thank you for the opportunity for vulnerability. Yeah. I'll be honest. And I think that we were talking earlier about being Enneagram twos. Mm-hmm. And I'm a two wing three. And I would say that unfortunately it was believing the lie that my value was held within my performance. And also having this desire to be loved. Mm-hmm. So
it's so deep. I think before I did any Enneagram work mm-hmm. ever, I had no idea how deep that was.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. I would say in those formative changing years, mm-hmm. that's where it was. And again, coming into a new church tradition where you mentioned this before about how across multiple traditions and heritages, like, mm-hmm. unfortunately, I think we have a tendency to be like, this is the way mm-hmm. or this is the right way. And based on what I just shared with you mm-hmm. on believing that lie, I felt like, oh, I was not worthy of mm-hmm. being in this space. Like, I didn't have the knowledge of, or I didn't have the experience of. Mm-hmm. So that was, you know, challenging for me in many ways. Yeah. But also, I'm grateful for that sense of forming mm-hmm. because now I can reflect back. And like you were mentioning, just like those breadcrumbs of life where Jesus mm-hmm. has just consistently pursued you.
Absolutely. And met you. Yes. And that's the way. Mm-hmm. Like that is the way, is to follow Jesus and to fall in love with Jesus and mm-hmm. to have a relationship with Jesus. That's it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and I think that's why I love that we can have this conversation and we can say, like, my grandmother, you had a Catholic grandmother. I had a grandparents that went to an Episcopalian church. Mm-hmm. And for years, I remember it being a conversation of, well, they may not be in heaven. And mm-hmm. as a little girl, I remember driving home from church one time in the back seat. And what I didn't have vocabulary for it. I didn't know how to ask questions around it. But I just wondered, like, if that's really true, then why are we not more vocal mm-hmm. to grandma and grandpa? Like, my grandparents were at their church every single week. They love the Lord. I watched them worship. I watched them serve their church. My grandfather counted contribution every single week. My grandmother talked about kneeling in prayer, you know, mm-hmm. and so like I would hear that, but then hear this other message and it didn't really line up. Mm-hmm. Right. And so I think you and I can think back just all the way back to our childhood.
Oh, yeah.
And now as adults realize that the Lord was there all the time.
Yes.
And pursuing us and trying to understand our hearts. And then now as adults, that's how come he can kind of speak to, he's known our heart all along.
All along.
Right? Mm-hmm. So you tore your ACL.
Mm-hmm. Junior year. And I remember high school watching some like varsity girls, like mm-hmm. especially basketball, like having those injuries, and you heard like ACL tears were just career ending mm-hmm. injuries.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I remember at that time, junior year, it was conference weekend when it happened, perfect timing for it, going through surgery and recovery. I knew that I didn't want a red shirt, although that was mm-hmm. an option for me. Mm-hmm. I was like, no, I feel like I can recover mm-hmm. and, you know, play in my senior year. And that's exactly what happened. And in that time,
recovered and played your senior year.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. So I had a full 6-7 months. Mm-hmm. There's nothing like being told that you cannot and should not run in a certain period of time. And so I just had this like sense in my mind.
Are there other times in your life that has manifested mm-hmm. like, plenty. You tell me I can't do this, yeah. so I'm going to do it?
Plenty. Uh-huh. And in that time of healing, there was this shift in this awe of just the human body and its ability to heal and to perform. And
but you're also, and this time, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm imagining you're having to be more still than you've ever been.
Yep. Yeah. It was almost like, slow down.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. And then this curiosity began to build.
Mm-hmm. And that's what drew me more towards the health and fitness world.
Okay.
So I did graduate with my bachelor's of science in art and fine art.
Did you already say what direction you were headed career-wise before that?
Mm-mm. What? I was split graphic design, interior design, okay. And then also fell in love with different
okay.
mediums.
Because I think that's so important for us. Like, I want our listeners to think about is that was like the worst thing that could have happened to you mm-hmm. probably in that moment. You're mm-hmm. like, this is the worst thing that could be happening to me. But then the way that the Lord uses those moments to... Like, he knows exactly who you are. Mm-hmm. He knows who he created you to be. He knows the gifts he gave you. He knows, I think this is a hard thing for me to wrap my brain around, but I believe it to be true. He knows me better than I know myself. You think that's true?
Oh, absolutely. You search me and know me, right?
Yeah.
There's so many things in that. Like, we can unpack that maybe a little bit later.
I was going to ask you if there was an anchor scripture, but it sounds like there is.
Well,
because in that moment, like, if you're thinking about, I'm having to be so still, mm-hmm. and now this curiosity is building about the human body and how it can heal, and how you might not have had vocabulary then, but then how can I use that to help other people? Because you're a helper. Like, it's all
connected.
When we're like pulling back and looking at this, like, big overview of who you are, mm-hmm. and he already knew. Yeah.
And that's what drew me. I've been in the fitness industry for over 15 years now.
Yeah.
So I'm a health and fitness coach and personal trainer.
I love that.
And yeah.
Well, what would you say? Was there a scripture that kind of anchored you through that time? Or maybe it's a scripture now that anchors you? Either one.
Yeah. I wouldn't say I had one at the time. I was learning, and I think, again, in Jesus' pursuit of me, I hadn't fully received his love for me, mm-hmm. I'll be honest. Mm-hmm. It took me a long time, and I feel like even at the age that I'm at now, like, I'm just now understanding mm-hmm. what life looks like walking with mm-hmm. the Spirit. And I would say that an anchor scripture for me now is Psalm 23. Mm-hmm. For so many reasons. I mean, you can take it apart and it can wash over you in a moment. Mm-hmm. It can wash over you in a season, in a day. Mm-hmm. Dallas Willard's Life Without Lack was a big influence for that, for sure.
Dallas Willard. Mm. For our listeners who don't know Dallas Willard, listen, amazing wisdom mm-hmm. Coming from that man. And just the first time I heard him speak, I was amazed at the pace at which he was speaking and realizing, like, his whole life, like, he understood this. We can't reflect unless we slow down, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And so that's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is it? You must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life. Mm-hmm. I think that was in response to a question in regard to maintaining spiritual health.
Yeah.
As a leader, I believe. I may have been John Ortberg.
For me, when I started unpacking some of those truths, mm-hmm. I realized, and again, as an Enneagram 2 Wing 3, that I was trying to work toward rest rather than resting so that I could work.
And working from a place of rest.
Yes.
Yeah.
Life-changing.
Uh-huh.
Life-changing.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Nikki, oh my goodness, we could like...
might need to fast forward a few
years. We could talk about so many things. Yeah. I don't want to fast forward so much, but mm-hmm. I do want to ask you, like, when was the first time that you thought you heard God's voice? And for our listeners, it's not always an audible thing. I like for them to just think about, sometimes it's in a worship song, or it could be in scripture. It could be a thought in your head. It could be that you're driving down the road and the way you see the sky looks different than it did yesterday. And so your creator is revealing himself to you. So that's what I'm asking you.
Yeah.
Like, when did you start to experience that?
I love that you opened with that, because when I think of communication and hearing, it makes me think of lyrics from a song, Stephanie Gretzinger. It's called The Voice of God. I know. She's amazing. But there's kind of an ad-lib moment at the end. I will just call it like a spirit-led moment at the end of the song. And she says, listen to the texture, to the tone. Mm. The voice of God. Mm-hmm. And I think, yes, he does meet us in multiple ways. Mm-hmm. Even the way in which we communicate, our our posture, mm-hmm. our body language, mm-hmm. Our upspeak, if we have mm-hmm. upspeak, or mm-hmm. our pauses.
Yeah.
In between. Mm-hmm. The silence, the heaviness of it, the softness, yeah. all those things. I will say that kind of the apex of the first moment, I mm-hmm. think, began whenever I had learned the true definition of Aitzer or Azir. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. as woman,
yep.
you know, what that means.
So define it for our listeners, because I can assure you, in women's circles, mm-hmm. we have a lot of women that still don't know the definition of that, the word Azir.
Yeah. Yeah. It's my understanding and my take mm-hmm. on it. It is almost like militant mm-hmm. language.
Yep.
I also know that it is a descriptive word for ruach, or the spirit, mm-hmm. which I love. Mm-hmm. And it can mean like help. Like we mm-hmm. we view it as like help meet, right? Yes. When we say it's our conecto. But it's not just a helper. Mm-hmm. It's help, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So when you run to somebody mm-hmm. for protection, almost mm-hmm. like in a warrior position. So like the mm-hmm. strength within her.
Yep.
Like that was refreshing.
Right.
Speaking to identity, mm-hmm. I think that there was a ruffling or an agitation to mm-hmm. some of those lies.
I think I had no idea we were going here today, but mm-hmm. this is beautiful. Because I didn't know the definition of that word until maybe 3-4 years ago mm-hmm. was the first time that somebody unpacked it for me. And for our listeners, if you've never heard the word Azir, it's a Hebrew word. It is used first in the book of Genesis, when God is creating, Eve.
Yes.
And when you think about it, raised in kids' church, like, okay, well, Adam needed a helper, so mm-hmm. God created Eve. Mm-hmm. And we grew up in a Western culture that saw, like, I saw my mom helping my dad. And so as a little girl, I didn't really understand what that meant. And then as I began to unpack it a few years ago and really hear like what the language is of that word, what it means to be a war, like he created Eve mm-hmm. to warrior with mm-hmm. Adam mm-hmm. is totally different than our English translation of the word helper.
Yeah.
And I know that the Lord is going to use your story to influence people to hear him, but I think it's really important that they understand who's talking to them and how he sees them. Mm. He sees them as a warrior in his kingdom. And are we preparing for battle, or because we believe we are a warrior, or are we like stepping back? Mm-hmm. And so you have to fully understand mm-hmm. who he sees you as, mm-hmm. Nikki, to know like, this is who he is, and I want to trust his voice. But if I'm going to trust his voice, then I need to know what he thinks of me.
Right. Ugh. I mean, we'll get there. We can go there now. And in terms of identity and what it is rooted in now, I think it's A.W. Tozer. The first thing that comes to mind when you think about God mm-hmm. is the most important thing about us.
Right.
And for me in my journey, it is the more that I learn, experience, understand, question, mm-hmm. even. Mm-hmm. the attributes and character of God, mm-hmm. the more I found out about myself. Mm-hmm.
You just said we can question God. Mm. Unpack that.
Oh, I think he welcomes it. Mm-hmm. Increase my faith, mm-hmm. In so many ways. And I think maybe even the question is, first thing I'm thinking about right now is just like the sticky points in scripture. Mm-hmm. A lot of my study lately has been Jesus and women. Mm. And throughout the whole of the Bible, I mean, I know it's a little bit of a buzzword, but the patriarchy in which, mm-hmm. The world mm-hmm. was, is, women were treated a little mm-hmm. bit differently, or a lot differently, mm-hmm. as well as children. And we can unpack that too, but the sticky points in scripture where even in Judges, where a Levite's concubine mm-hmm. is cut up into pieces mm-hmm. I mean, that I think is more of a parallel to just stepping away from, you know, the truths that we were supposed to live in and and conforming to pagan practices. Mm-hmm. Or even the challenging, you know, Rick preached about this several weeks ago and I loved it. Tim Mackey has a wonderful talk on this as well, with the Syrophoenician woman with Jesus and the way he speaks to her.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's beautiful.
The way in which Jesus uses her and the way that he draws out of her what he already knows to be true and what she believes to be true and calling him Lord. Mm-hmm. And he uses her as a hinge to bring bread of life to the nations.
Yeah.
And so when I think of questioning God, it is those things, or even questioning, you know, pride in myself or mistruths, lies, just being able to draw that to him.
Yeah. And, well, I think, I mean, when I was younger, I didn't know you could question God, you know, but as I've gotten older, I think whenever I question God, it's almost this invitation for then for him to speak back to me.
Oh yeah.
So, I would love for you to share, with me and with our listeners, just a time where you felt like that happened, like where you did hear God's voice leading you, directing you, or maybe answering a question.
I think, well, we all have our own journeys in terms of fertility. And for Sean and I, ours came to a point where the conversation of what might life look like if we didn't have children of our own. And we, by God's grace, we did have Alea. And there's a process in there. There's a whole other story to tell in terms of like what I'm passionate about right now in terms of women and health and spiritual disciplines. But we had Alea and we had two miscarriages following. And during that time, you know, I had discovered Aitzer, and then it was like starting to question a little bit more about just Jesus and women during that time. And then also just me not knowing how to grieve something like that or to process that. You just kind of like, you keep on going, you keep on going through life. And spring 2020, it was Silent Saturday. That night I had been in just study of women, the women of Easter. And that night I didn't have a name for it. Now I would probably call it like Lectio Divina or Lectio Visio, where I would meditate on scripture or meditate even on the imagery or an image, an icon even. And that evening I, in John's account, the moment where Mary is at the empty tomb and she mistakes Jesus as the gardener. And so in my mind's eye, I see her in the garden, the sun just rising, just picturing the colors, even what the temperature might be like. Was it like, was it humid? You know, you think of the dew, you think of maybe even like a small breeze.
Yeah.
And the image I was picturing is her weeping. And Jesus comes and he says, "Woman, why are you weeping? Who is it that you're seeking?" And when he said, "Woman," Mary's form became my own. And so I looked up at him and he said, "I know."
So sweet.
And I can go back on that time and reflect on it. And there's so much that he said within those two words. And I think in that moment, in that experience, it was, "I know your pain. I know your hurt." And now reflecting on it, it is, "I am the man of sorrows." Right.
I know those, your pain and I'm right here. Like,
and I'm right here.
I'm willing to sit in it. Like, there's not I'm not here with an answer right now. I'm just here to sit with you.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like, that is not a burden for you to carry, right? I am redeeming love. And when you are with me, it is peace.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what it felt like. And I wish I could have stayed in that as long as I, you know, could. And then I hear some small cries. So Alea was two at the time. She's like, mommy, mommy. So I'm out of that moment. Yeah. I'm pulled out of it. I go get her, and because I want so badly to just, what else? Yeah. You know, what else can I hear, see, feel? Mm-hmm. And I don't think it really works like that, just pulling yourself right back into it. But in his kindness, I'm holding Alea, and I heard this resounding, my promise is here. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, like Alea's here. Yeah. My child, you know. And so much more. Again, you can go back and my promise is here. It can mean so many things. It is true.
Yeah.
Always true. And a few days later, we found out we were pregnant with Cora. Oh, and I would say that that was something that I returned to in many ways in terms of how do I go back and listening or hearing or even just spending time with.
Yeah, I was going to say, how do you keep... like you have two girls now, you have a job, you're like you're maintaining a house, whatever, like you're helping Sean, like all the things, and you're like, I want to be back in that moment. And then at the same time, like the girls are hungry, right? So is there something about each one of them that I'm just wondering, like when you see them, is there something about them either physically or in their personality that helps you draw you back there?
Oh. Draw me back to that moment specifically?
Or just back to that space where you know that the Lord is with you?
Well, hearing their identities as designer of beauty and speaker of truth. I know that God would never call us names he wouldn't call himself. And so... when I see Alea and I see that truth about her, that is a reminder that God is designer of beauty. That God is speaker of truth.
Yeah.
When I see Cora.
Yeah.
And they live those out so well.
It's so beautiful. I have a sister that had a similar journey to that. And her oldest is 23. And the first time I held my niece, I remember looking in her eyes and talking to the Lord because I felt my sister's pain. I think that's another thing about Enneagram 2s we can unpack another day, but we can literally feel everything happening in a room, whether that's exciting or whether it's hard. And so I remember somewhat feeling my sister's pain. And so when I held my niece for the first time and she opened her eyes and we made eye contact, like a baby that can't talk to you, miracle. But I just remember saying to the Lord, every time I look in her eyes, I'm going to remember that you are faithful. And now that she's 23, it's so sweet to still have that with the Lord. Like that's just between, I mean, now it's between me and the Lord and all our listeners, but I'm just saying, like, when you see something that one of your girls, like an actions that they do or something that they create or even is Cora more vocal?
Oh yeah, she is.
So I'm like, even if Cora's having a moment where, like, out of injustice she's being very vocal, I think you can see the heart of God, and you can
absolutely,
he's using those things to remind you
absolutely
that he's present. Man, beautiful, beautiful. So how would you say you posture yourself now as a mom of two to hear from God?
I mentioned Life Without Lack. I would say a great partner book with that would be Tyler Staton's Praying Like Monks, Living Like Fools in terms of types of prayer. I would say also a spiritual practice here recently, I would say within the past year and a half, has been fasting. And for me, that is taking my whole entire body into this posture where I am keeping myself from lesser loves so that my focus can be on the giver of those loves.
That's right.
And that also draws out desires and I can lay those out more openly and honestly. another practice in terms of listening and posturing myself would be breath prayer.
Mm. Explain that to somebody who's never heard that term before.
Yeah, it could be different for everybody. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you're familiar with Emily P. Freeman. She is the author of How to Walk into a Room. Mm-hmm. And she also talks about spiritual disciplines. She's a spiritual director herself. Mm-hmm. And she utilizes even haiku as like a spiritual practice. Mm. So what I'm trying to say is that you can create your breath prayer to be whatever it is.
Yeah.
So when we are inhaling and exhaling, it's almost as if we're speaking the name Yahweh, right? In our inhale and exhale. So it could literally be Yahweh as you're inhaling and exhaling. Mm-hmm. For me, sometimes it's in the inhale, Jesus in you, I rest.
Yeah.
On the exhale, Jesus in you, I live. Mm-hmm. Jesus in you, I delight. Mm-hmm. One of our listening prayer moments in Rooted, Debbie Williams, she stepped out in her prayer moment and hers was, Holy Spirit, speak to me. Holy Spirit, speak through me.
Wow.
So that is a description of breath prayer. Mm-hmm. Quiet is also helpful.
For some people, like inhaling and kind of meditating on what a thought that's recurring and then exhaling and thinking about what you know to be true from scripture, you know, because sometimes we need to cleanse out the thing that we're thinking, especially if it's not in alignment with God's word.
Yeah.
Just focusing on breathing relaxes you, right?
Oh, yeah.
And so like it just changes everything about your countenance. Mm-hmm. And for me too, if I'm practicing that, it's just this reminder that it's God's breath in me. Mm-hmm. And how many times I try to do things in my own strength or in my own breath, and well, it's God's breath in me, you know? And so I think somehow you might be able to explain this better than me, but it just draws you closer into that he is the creator of it all, that it's, you know, that there's a presence with you. It's not, you're not on your own.
No.
Yeah. Mm. That's beautiful.
Yeah. And since that garden moment, that is a place that I also meet him at.
Yeah.
It is recreating a space that you would feel his presence. Mm-hmm. And if it is a listening moment, I go to that space, and the question is, what is it that you have for me today? Mm. What is it that you want me to know?
Yeah.
Jamie Winship's Living Fearless is fantastic in terms of speaking against or talking back to the lies and then discovering your true identity.
Yeah.
I have it in my huge collection of books to read, but Evagrius Ponticus, I believe is his name, a Christian mystic who wrote Talking Back, where essentially he takes like 500 lies or challenges that the enemy might have on our lives. And it's these counter arguments from scripture.
Right.
So going back to that space that you would have, you could always share with God, with Jesus, and just simply asking, what is it that you want me to know about you today, about myself, or about my husband, my daughters?
Oh, it's so I think deep. The more that we do that, for me at least, the more that I do that, I'm starting to experience the true thought coming before I ever, like it's being replaced, the Spirit's replacing it before I've even had a chance to look it up. Like, okay, that is very exciting and cool, and that we have a God that will do that.
Oh yeah.
You know, because he loves your husband and your kids more than you do. And so it's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. You have given us a lot to think about. And what I hope the purpose of why I wanted to share you with our listeners is that I want women to seek this out, and I want them to try something new, to get into a different posture, to just understand that God wants to be with them all the time.
All the time.
All the time. And just the peace that carries. Mm-hmm. And a world that we're living in that has so many distractions to keep us from that, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm so grateful that you were willing to open up your heart and the things that have been hard. But in that, what is going to translate to people is that he's a good God.
So good.
No matter the circumstance. So thank you for that. I'm trying to close every episode with this question. But if you were to describe God's voice, like, because we hear lots of things all the time. And how do you know that that's him? Mm-hmm. Like, how would you describe his voice? What does it sound like to you?
I love your story about your niece and first seeing her eyes at yours. When Alea was born, in the first moment they had put her on my chest, I had to have a cesarean section with her. And so we were in the OR and the lights are super bright and just really loud. Mm-hmm. And so when they placed her on my chest, her eyes were like so tight and she just seemed like uncomfortable. So I took my hand and kind of created this, you know, amount of shade over her eyes. And she was still a little squirmy. And I started to say, Alea, hi, Alea. Mm-hmm. And she slowly opened her eyes. And I think God's voice is like that. It's familiar. Like you've always known it. You've been surrounded by it.
Yeah.
And that in the quiet, outside of the noise, that's when you can hear him. Like his Elijah's experience in a whisper.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's familiar. I think that there is a knowing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's like that. Psalms 139, you know, you knit me together. And I think when you've been through trials or you've, like you've just described to us today, whether it was in college or when you're ready to start a family and there's a challenge to that, we look at God's word and we think, or I've had to think this to myself, do I really believe what this says? Mm-hmm. Like, do I really believe? Like, and so I think that's so beautiful to hear you tell that story, because he knit you together, but he also knit your daughters together. And so familiar is such a good word. Like we're good. If he's been with us since the time we were knit together, then it's familiar. Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. Well, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
I would love to ask you if you will pray for women who are, they're listening and they don't know yet if they can have this closeness with the Lord. Would you close us in that?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure. Holy Spirit, would you come in this moment? We just want to come and even just kneel at your feet and be in your presence, Lord. For those daughters and even sons, Father, that are curious or may be even having a little bit of trouble of meeting with you in this way or hearing you, Lord, would you speak to them? Would you show them a glimpse of the restoration of your kingdom? God, I just picture right now the woman at your feet reaching out to the corner of your robe, knowing that's as close as she needs to be to you, Lord. And would you look and turn your face to your daughters and sons and let them know, tell them to take heart, daughter or even son, that your faith has healed them. Father, would you give them courage? Would you give them curiosity? Would you grace them with your wonder? Mm. Would you surround them with your love? We thank you for this time with you. We thank you for the ways that you speak to us, will speak to us. And I pray blessings, Lord, that we can continue to walk with you in step. Thank you for your son, Lord. And we're so grateful that we can hide within his wounds, Lord, and still be in your presence and enter the throne room because of that. We love you, Lord. Mm. We ask these things in your son's name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Mm-hmm.